Blog Talk Radio.
Janessa Hoffman is on the air with Pope Francis and John. Good evening, John.
Put thy holy hammer down, Jane Hoffman.
John is joining us shortly. He's returned from Idaho.
Oh, really? I don't know any.
So there's two topics tonight. What do you do when you feel the world has abandoned you? And Pope Francis, our care for our common home, he wrote a sacramental script in May about care for the earth. So I'll read a few quotes before Don jumps in. Okay?
Go for it.
Is that okay?
Oh, yeah, go for it.
Our common home is like a sister. We have come to see ourselves as her lords and masters. Nothing in this world is indifferent to us. We're united by the same concern. St. Francis of Assisi said, "Replace consumption with sacrifice, greed with generosity, wastefulness with a spirit of sharing and asceticism." Refusal to turn reality into an object simply to be used in control. My appeal, says Pope Francis, is to bring the whole human family together to seek a sustainable and integral development. So I'm just going to read a few more quotes. He said, what's happening to our common home? Pollution and climate change. Water. The issue of water is the tendency to privatize, yet access to safe drinkable water is a basic and universal human right. Loss of biodiversity. Different species not merely a potential resources to be exploited, they have value within themselves. Decline in the quality of human life and breakdown of society, it's kind of mirrored the declination of the environment. A true ecological approach always becomes a social approach. Cry of the earth equals cry of the poor. Then he talks about the gospel of creation. Three fundamental and closely intertwined relationships with God, our neighbor, and the earth itself. The mystery of the universe, the world came about as a result of a decision, not from chaos or chance, but because of God's love. The message of each creature in the harmony of creation, each creature has its own purpose. None is superfluous. Superfluous. We see God reflected in all that exists. Everything is related. Sense of fraternity excludes nothing and no one. The earth is a shared inheritance whose fruits are meant to benefit everyone. The gaze of Jesus. Jesus was full of harmony with creation, despite the body, the matter, and the things of the world. Then I'm just going to read one more quote, and I can read some more later. The queen of creation is Mary, beyond the sun. Eternal life will be a shared experience of awe in which each creature resplendently transfigured will take its rightful place. May our struggles and concerns for this planet... Are you whistling?
Oh, yeah. It's I'm in an area where there's an ambulance going by.
I saw it. It sounded like you were whistling, like...
Yeah, no, you started talking about the planet being at risk, and they sent out the health unit to try and resuscitate the Earth.
He said, that's cute. He said, we have... Okay, let me just finish the quote, then Don hasn't called in yet. May our struggles and concerns for this planet never take away the joy of our hope. He does not abandon us. He does not leave us alone, for he has united himself definitively to our earth, and his love constantly impels us to find new ways forward. Praise be to God. Just a minute. Now Pat's calling in. Just a minute.
Nice.
Don, you called the wrong number. Just 323-642-1691. You're live on the air with John Yoder and Jane Hoffman. And
wow. And paramedics too, trying to save the planet.
You have to call back. Okay, bye. He didn't hear you, John, because I had one phone in one ear and one phone in the other ear.
That's okay. You got an ear load. So we have an environment.
Basically, I went to Sunday school today, and my pastor condensed papal directive that was written in May, and the whole premise was about the environment, like Don was talking about a few weeks ago. He's going to come to America and try to set a directive for the whole world. How powerful do you think this stuff will be?
In South America, it'll be very powerful. Third world countries, you know, the Pope is big. It'll be big also in the States, but not as much, you know, because the Catholic Church here is not as strong as it used to be as far as the brand. You know, it's had a lot of hits due to all the child molestation.
Sexual abuse.
That's yeah, so it was
there was another, yeah, you're right. There was another Don, we'll let you in a minute, okay? We see you on the line. There was another sexual abuse charge up here just a month ago in St. Paul. In fact, the St. Paul Minneapolis Diocese declared bankruptcy.
Well, you know, a lot of the problem is due with the sexuality is that you're trying to get priests and popes and nuns and things to do something that most of them aren't wired to do. They're wired to breed and have sex. And so you're totally disconnecting someone from what they are, and it comes out eventually one way or another. You know, you go crazy. So that's come they do a lot of this secret stuff. So what's interesting, this Pope is trying
to... Well, let's try to stick with the environment, though, tonight, because we've already covered that topic.
Well, kind of going to that point, he's going to be the politically correct, environmentally correct Pope. He's trying to correct and bring the church into the new era. So I think you'll see a lot of these things. I have a feeling probably in a couple of years he'll go, hey, we accept transgender, lesbian, and if you want to get married and have sex and still be a priest, you can do it. You know, maybe that's a little far off in the future, but who would have thought that he would, condone a lot of the things he's starting to do now? And
I don't think the environment is the most important thing, and I'll tell you why, but let's bring Don in the line first.
Okay.
Good evening, Don. How are you doing tonight?
You have no idea. I just came in from Pocatello, Idaho, from a conference, and to news that one of my daughter's boyfriend's stepdaughter, niece nephews was shot in the head this morning by apparently a stray bullet from a gang shooting, and so he might be in critical condition with severe brain damage. So that's great.
And now this is your
playing.
Daughter's? Now you have
boyfriend,
something in common with me.
Niece. Oh, no, big time. But the guy that we went to Pocatello with, he had two nieces shot, one dead, on the same day about 7 months ago. So this is this gun violence is so out of control, it's unreal.
So this person was a girl, and how old was she?
No, it was a boy, 13 years old. We'd just seen him, or my son and my daughter had just seen him play football Friday. And so now he's possibly going to be a vegetable, even though he probably should have been dead. Bullet through the bedroom wall.
A random shooting?
They're thinking it's gang-related. So, but he was, of course, an innocent bystander. But that's why I implore people to move out of their inner city ghetto surroundings into at least some places semi-safe. But
I'm really sorry to hear that, but we don't want to beleaguer you, but could you please explain again the relation, because you said it too fast.
It is my daughter, my lawyer daughter's boyfriend's nephew.
Okay, I'm really sorry to hear that.
Yeah, no, we are too. Everybody's sad, and we just came back from a successful conference for the Renal Sparks and Nevada, Idaho, Utah branch, tri-state branch for the NAACP. So there's this good news, bad news. We just came in not a half an hour ago from driving to and from Pocatello,
I know, and we didn't.
Idaho.
We only expected you to call in unless you wanted to. We understood.
Right. No. The only because you guys understand. I think that John especially understands the magnitude of this visit. This visit is unbelievably historic in that the Pope has never addressed the Senate and Congress. The Pope has never come through with an apparent agenda that everybody has been able to look at and vet, that he is, when the Pope is talking about homosexuals being
Well, we weren't talking about homosexual. We're talking about the Pope's decree on the environment, and my pastor downsized it for the congregation. We studied it in Sunday school today. It's his papal directive on how we should handle the environment.
Right. Well, that's all a ruse. That's all a ruse. The Pope, in a lot of ways, is only looking. He could care less about climate change.
You know, that's not. He's not a politician. He's a really nice guy. Now, don't mess
nice.
With my Pope.
Your Pope is the conduit, the head of the conduit for One World Order, and that is wrong. You know, to decree Catholics, who are probably the most villainous military group in the history of the world, they've killed more people than pretty much anybody. But they've also subjugated far more than anybody. You know, the Catholic Church.
I know they have historically, but this is a new pope, and he took an oath of poverty his whole life. I found out today he has a degree in chemistry.
He's poor right now.
He has a degree
now,
in chemistry, and that he has a lot of basic knowledge about this environmental problem. Now, the reason, you know, John and I read about 25 quotes before you got on the air. We can brouhaha about improving the environment, but what it comes down to is people who are doing the actual exploiting, like cutting the trees down in Ecuador and exploiting, you know, oil and everywhere all over the place. It's not going to make any difference until those people who are doing all the exploiting, you know, are going to change.
Well, Jane, that is perfectly beautiful, but one of the main exploiters besides oil is McDonald's. McDonald's has torn down more rainforest. Honey, stop. McDonald's has torn down more rainforests in Argentina and Brazil than any corporation pretty much in the history of man. They needed that ranch land for their cows so that they can have their hamburgers. And they have
Why do they have to chop trees down to exploit cows?
They're not exploiting cows. They're exploiting you. They're destroying the climate. And this is part of what the poor people
Okay, I'm going to Google it while you and John talk.
That's fine. They've made so much ranch land that they have destroyed as much rainforest as almost any for any purpose by a corporation besides the oil company, Exxon and Chevron. And
well, it doesn't matter if they're exploiting. I'm just saying corporations in general, including the Republicans, who want to do polymed multiple. They want to strip the land up here for minerals, and they also want to build a Keystone pipeline.
Right. Well, it's the same thing, only in Brazil and Argentina, who have some of the largest rainforests in the world. Now, let me repeat that. Brazil has some of the largest rainforests in the world, and when you tear down those rainforests, that's why the upper northwest here in America, they started the aggressive replanting.
Uh-huh. And what's the biggest religion in South America, Brazil, Argentina?
By far,
Catholic Church owns it.
And why is it the largest? Because in the past, the Spaniards came through there and killed and enslaved every Peruvian, Chilean, there was. or Argentinian, there was. They enslaved those people, and they are still slaves today. The South American, Central American Catholic pipeline is the strongest in the world, by far, stronger than America. And they've got 1.2 trillion Catholics in the world, as opposed to, what is it, 40 million Baptists and 15 million Mormons. But they've
well,
got 1.2
Maybe one reason he's concerned is because the Catholic Church owns a quarter of the earth. He's not concerned with climate change.
He's concerned with climate change being the talking point for a one.
Well, you haven't read all the quotes, Don. No, I don't want to mute you on your way back from Idaho.
I think Don's confusing us with the facts and the reality. But he's true to the point. In other words, the brand is suffering. Catholic Church's brand is suffering. It's almost like when Clinton became president, right? And he had a bunch of different ideas with health care and a lot of ideas to the left. He was trying to push, and everyone, he hit the wall. You know, the Republicans are, we're not going to budge. And half the public's going, you know, what the heck is going on here? So what does he do? He becomes a centralist. He starts appealing to both sides and like, hey, I'll give you a little of this and a little of that. We'll mix it together. Now everyone's interested. Everyone wants to dance with Clinton. And it became very successful with a lot of his business policies. And kind of what I'm saying in this case, the Catholic Church is getting encountered and slammed by the modern world. So people don't want to buy into the brand. And the kids coming up, they don't want to buy into this because it's too old school. Now he's bringing it up to date. There's no reason to hate the Catholic Church. We love homosexuals. You know, we love the environment. We love women's rights. Well, what can you say
bullshit.
No to that? How can you?
Bullshit. They cannot stand women. That's the whole. That's
bullshit.
The things and
they worship Mary.
That was the only woman in us because she accidentally got pregnant.
She didn't get accidentally. It was. Don't you read the Bible? It was divine intervention. It was a
divine intervention.
It was called a holy there's a word for it. Conception.
Is that a misconception? Is that a misconception?
You shouldn't joke about your Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life.
And that's the Son. The mother does this. They don't even say in the Bible half the time how she cared for him, how she raised him. They don't even say how Jesus was raised.
I know how he was raised. He was a perfect gentleman who was a carpenter and kept his mouth shut until he turned 33.
He kept his mouth shut.
Okay.
That's nothing about Mary.
I have
Mary,
to straighten
Mary.
You guys no, out a minute. 1 second. Don's on mute.
You're going to mute
okay,
us
so,
off.
Don, are you listening? The ecological education and spirituality from the Pope says we have to move away from compulsive consumerism. Human beings are capable of rising above and not forgetting this dignity. There must be an awareness translated into new habits. All Christian communities must have a proper role in ecological conservation or conversion. The ecological crisis is also a summons to a profound interior conversion, community conversion. Okay, Don, you're back on.
Yeah, I'm going to mute you.
You can't because you don't have control of the switchboard. And I'm
yeah,
in the
bottom line is that you're not listening to the
I just don't like how you're against everything. Can't you like somebody? Even if the Pope was black?
The Jesus Christ is black. You don't understand. He's got bronze, he's got hair like wool. He's got bronze hands and feet. He's dark. Golly. The boy
he
is
has hair. Did you
he's
say he has hair like a Brillo pad?
Right. That's what it says.
It's okay, you guys, 15, you know what? My Jesus is an Israelite.
Right, and Israelites are right there in, right next to Mexico, Africa. You know, these are.
You know, I don't really give a crap. My Jesus wants to be who he wants to be.
He's blonde, blue haired, blue eyed, huh?
Blue eyed?
No, he's a dark Mediterranean.
There you go. So.
He's. That's.
Everybody.
You know, we'll find out in heaven if you make it.
All right. I'll make it. I'm sure. Because I don't pray to idolatry. I don't pray to idols. Idols are just something that are physically put in front of people for symbolism. And the symbolism of Jesus Christ since 1300 when he was portrayed, or the 1200s when he was portrayed as a blonde, blue-eyed person.
Who cares?
No,
it's called Immaculate Conception. Mary was conceived without original sin. God put the seed in her.
It's like calling white people they're giving special treatment without it being true. That's what it is.
No,
all right,
maybe Jesus is white, black, Chinese, and Latino all mixed together.
He probably is. But don't say him on every church poster picture as blonde, blue eye. Don't do it. Don't even.
I'm not doing it, and this is about the environment, not Jesus' looks.
Yeah, well, the environment is just. The environment is just a ruse for the
I thought he had red hair like Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, he might have.
You know, I'm looking at the Jesus pictures, and not one of them has blue eyes. He has long, brown, sweeping hair.
That's a white lie.
Oh, God.
Complete
Malcolm
lie.
X died and reappeared on our show.
I just came in from Pocatello. Give me a break.
Yeah, what are you doing in that cracker country? I bet you there's not one member of the NAACP in Utah.
Oh, believe me, there are some black NAACP Utah, Southern Nevada. That's the Mormon country. And it goes all the way down to Phoenix. But the bottom line is that at least they're a cult. They're not even a religion. They're,
the Mormons?
Yeah, they're man-made.
Yeah.
I know, but they're pretty good people. They're cool people, though. They're nice.
They killed all the Indians they could.
No, they didn't. They think the Indians are one of the last 12 tribes of Israel, and they give them scholarships to go to Brigham Young.
But then when they were getting Brigham Young built, they were killing the Indians. Give me a break. That's how they got Utah. Utah is a Ute is an Indian name. It's just, you know, I mean, come on now.
By the way, we had a listener last week from my church, and he said we rambled.
That's fine.
Probably doing that tonight again.
I don't think this
is a fun ramble.
This is not rambling to me, because I'm trying to show you that all the things that you've learned, 100% of the things you've learned all your life, is wrong. And that, again, you're
what? Everything in life is subjective, and my Jesus has olive skin and hazel eyes and long brown hair. Now, maybe he was part black, but I believe he was more Middle Eastern looking. Maybe even dark brown eyes. I don't think he was black. Oh, there was only one tribe in Israel that was black.
And you have
Jane, you're afraid of a black Jesus.
you're afraid of the black Jesus
sneaking up on you.
And
no black man would die for a white man's sins.
That's, And that's exactly why we're jobless, and we love our women and our drugs and our singing. And our, you know, we love that because we are not dying for no white man's sin. You can bet that.
John, help me.
No, but you haven't read the Bible. Jane, you haven't read the Bible.
Yes,
the Bible.
I have. I know more than you. I can quote the whole book of John.
Yeah, well,
okay.
You can't quote the description of Jesus Christ in the Bible.
He was despised and rejected, a man equated with grief. Surely we have borne our sorrows. I don't really care right now. I'm gonna infuse this conversation with some happy thoughts. Now, Don, you can talk about your convention in 5 minutes, and we're going to change the subject.
John. I was waiting for you to keep quoting from the Book of James, but kind of to point, you know, I'll give an example with the Mormon Church. Like, up until 1968, they didn't have black people in the church. You know, they couldn't be elders or whatever they want. They couldn't hold positions.
What are you talking about, Jane? You should know this.
And so what happened is they were going out to the island, you know, countries, you know, like the Dominicans and the Caribbeans and so forth, and they were trying to build temples, except the majority of the people were black, right? So suddenly the head, I forget what the title is, but the head guy had this dream and a vision that God told him that black people can have positions now in the church. It kind of coincided with the fact that they couldn't build temples out there without getting the black support. So I think what you're saying, I do believe this Pope likes, you know, he's the guy that they want in there. Like, let's pick a guy that's kind of, you know, pro-environment, pro-this, pro-that. He loves animals, you know, things like that. And let's promote him, but it's good for the brand. It's a great selling point. You know, he's probably, like Obama, he's pretty sincere about his stuff, but the point is he's the right pitch man for the brand, for the product. And they want the product to go further. It's not going to work the way it is now because they're losing support. They're not getting more priests, or not, people are not buying into it, the new generation. You know, the Catholic Church just has a bad label on it. So they're going to try to revamp the image. So that way there's nothing to be unhappy about. It's like, hey, we're all these things that you want. You know, we're the new and improved Catholic Church. Universal Church. And that's what it means, the Universal Church. They believe that one day they'll encompass everything, all faiths. Like, we're all just separated brethren. And we're just waiting to get connected to them so we all can bow down before the Pope.
There is biblical prophecy that says the Catholic Church is instrumental in the end. They're related to the 10 crowns of Europe. But I'd rather worship the Pope than any American president.
I ain't worshiping shit.
Oh, boy.
You ain't going to see me worship a motherfucker.
You kind of act like you're an authority, and you're not even really a real Christian. You've never submitted to anything in your life.
Yes, I have. I've been where I've been. I had to learn to be a Christian. I have done everything you could imagine, and from that, that's where the redemption of sin comes from. You know when you have sinned in your heart. And you know that you have to confess or whatever remedies or to correct the maladies. Those are the people who know that they're Christian, not the people.
I'm sure you've been humbled throughout all your
broad
experiences.
Don, I've heard him say.
I said you've been humbled, sort of.
Yeah. Well, Don has actually humbled himself and submitted to Joe. And I said, "Who's Joe?" He said, "Joe Mama."
Oh,
that was before. That was before. I was, believe me.
He's not really
exactly
a ghetto black.
No, but his children are. His children are of all colors, and for the most part, some of the children need to learn that. And those children are generally not people of color.
Okay, well, I'm going to read Revelations 1:13-18. In the midst of the lampstand was a son of man, clothed with a long robe and a golden girdle around his breast. His head and hair were like white as white wool, white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined as in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth issued a sharp two-edged sword, and his face was like the sun shining in full strength. That's it.
That was Revelation.
He used to
Revelation
be
13 to 6, 1, 13 to 16.
He was like Michael Jackson, and he had a little skin
almost
condition. And he went to the doctor, and they lightened him up.
Oh, God. I think I'm going to put myself on mute for a few minutes.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, the bottom line is that that what we're talking about here is a necessity for change. Everybody agrees to that, right?
I want each one of us, one by one, to within a 3-minute time frame, to describe what you think the Pope's message on his environmental encyclical is. 13 things you should know is, but go ahead and think. Tell me your theory.
I think we've already gone through this, haven't we?
I'm going to tell you one little tidbit you don't know. There's a Latin phrase called Laudato Si, which means praise to you, praise to the earth. And we have these row of trees in Duluth, Minnesota that are going to be cut down. And last weekend, they celebrated the 125th celebration of the Duluth Diocese, the Catholic Diocese. They marched 5 miles from this one position to downtown. And this lady pinned Laudato Si, on praise the trees, on every single tree. She was hoping the Catholics, when they marched by, would notice that the environment should be honored the way the Pope wants it honored. So I thought that was kind of a cool little tidbit.
I think, though, kind of what Don's alluding to is that
you're missing it.
This guy's a very high-thinking
individual. He wrote this publication for the care of creation, and he is a lot more evolved than you think he is. Now, maybe the Catholic Church is corrupt, but he's been breaking down the barriers for weeks and months. He even kissed the feet of a Muslim about 3 months ago.
Right, but Jane, something to keep in mind. Remember, like, in the last year or so, there's been a big thing in the NFL, for the National Football League, about concussions, right? They're concerned about concussions, and, you know, like, make sure they're okay, and do they really care? Because here we have, 75% of the league are black men running into each other with their helmets, smashing each other head first, and basically just destroying them, their bodies. Do they really, I mean, that's the sport. That's how it's set up. Do they really care about it? No. What they care about is lawsuit. They're going to sue the league for millions and billions of dollars, and they don't want to go bankrupt. So suddenly the league really cares about concussions. They haven't for 40 years. So what I'm saying is the church, if we didn't have Caitlyn Jenner and if we didn't have transgender, you know, Instagram stuff every day and lesbian rights and the rainbow this and the rainbow that, the Catholic Church would just ignore it. They'd stay hard line. But because of all these changes, it's just like the president. We have to cater to this new, you know, ideology, or otherwise you're going to get kicked out. So he may be sincere, but he's sincere because everyone, the public, demands it. It's not because they want it.
Well, I think, you know, like in places like Ecuador, which John was discussing, and I did look up that McDonald's did exploit the rainforest. He's correct. Those places are severe, but the Pope can send an idyllic message about an encyclical environment and publish it in a high-ranking papal paper, like in
the
papal index.
But the fact of the matter is that
it's not going to make any difference if, let's just say, this high-end Republican wins office next year and they start building the Keystone Pipeline from Canada to Louisiana. You can promote your ideas all you want, but in reality, what is it going to translate to?
Well, that point's moot because the point is whether we build a pipeline or not and exploit our land, someone in China or Russia or somewhere is going to exploit the world, and we're going to buy those products. So it's going to happen somewhere on the planet, and we endorse it when we buy products. So we're really not, you know, on any holier ground. But here's the point. If in, say, 6 months, all the scientists got together and said, you know what, global warming is a scam. There's really no problem with the environment. And they could factually prove it, and the public said, oh, okay, we were wrong about this. You know what the Catholic Church position would be? It would shift. Because how come? Because that's what the public perception is. And so I'm saying it's not a sincere belief held, you know, they're going to hold on to. Their real sincere beliefs are what it's been the last 2,000 years. They're only making exceptions here because you can't go any further down this road. It's a dead end for them. So they have to change policy.
I guess the environment to me is more of a, I read the encyclical. Don, are you still with us?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I read the encyclical chapter by chapter, just the abbreviations. Basically, what he's trying to promote is that he thinks that individualism is the cause of the breakdown of society, like people just pursuing their own passions. And if we bring the community together and become more of a community of cooperation, then we can help save the world. But, you know, he's only one leader. Like Don said, the world is 34% Christian and 23% Muslim and about 45% other. So how much of an impact is he going to make? I'm looking at it from the outside in perspective. Don?
I think it'll make a definitely, but what Don's saying, this is part of the New World Order. Everyone's going to go and cater to this, except it's kind of a setup. Everyone enters in the door thinking it's willfully until they grab all your guns, point it to your head, and say, this is really what we want you to do. We could care less about the environment. We just want you to blindly follow our orders. I think that's what he's kind of the bigger picture.
Well, I came out of Sunday school today with happy thoughts about these lofty idealistic words that he put on paper for the world, and then Don comes crushing my vision of the world.
Well, you know what? It shouldn't be crushed. If you are open to reality, then all these things that I mentioned are nothing but facts. These are nothing but the things that have gone on, the oppression of the South American people, the acceptance of a homosexual agenda that has been the primary enemy of their theological thought. But yet, their practice of it is normal to them. And then, you know, climate change, where they accept these corporate, they should be boycotting every single McDonald's, every single Walmart, every single, you know, every single thing that is detrimental to society. And then say that they're looking to change society or to have societal communities everywhere, or whatever that is, because individuality is your freedom. That's democracy. That's the American way. If nobody wants to live that way, they can move to Spain or Rome. They can move into next door to the Vatican. Just get the French toast out of here, because you know they're not. Individuality is what makes.
Okay,
everybody.
Well, let's make a pledge since the Pope says everybody is obsessed with their individualism. You, me, and John for 30 days will not eat any red meat.
What kind of pledge is that?
Because whether we're buying it from McDonald's, Burger King, or the grocery store, we can save the cow.
Right. But see, then again, you're different. America, because all of our beef comes from the United States. Don't get it wrong. But, I mean, McDonald's has so many burgers that they make, and that they have their own sources of beef.
I know, because one time I had this theory going on predictability. See, in the Bible, like in the book of Daniel, people consulted God before they grew crops. I mean, like, they grew crops for their, and then they stored grain. But what if McDonald's had a vision that this year we're not going to make burgers? I mean, like, they don't consult God. They just wholesale slaughter animals just for profit. Like, they don't even think about the global context that they're doing it in. And there is an environmental group in London that is trying to make attention to these types of issues that McDonald's is doing, but not most people aren't paying attention because it's convenient to buy a McDouble for $1.50. It's affordable, and as long as people are eating, they don't care.
Well, McDonald's makes most of their money, or has made most of their money in the past, not off of their food, but the fact that they own real estate. They own the properties, you know, the franchises that they sell out, you know. So they make their money that way. The Catholic Church owns a lot of land and property, and they get benefits through tax-exempt status. So we could stop eating cows for a while, but that's not really going to change the planet. We're carnivores, and animals eat each other. You know, they have no problem eating each other. That's what they do. But I think it's when you exploit the land to try and promote your product is kind of the whole issue. You know, like you don't have to take rainforest property. You know, I think we have plenty of room in Texas or somewhere we can raise our cattle. But the point
speaking
is,
speaking of carnivores, did you guys watch the second debate about Donald and Carly Fiorini's behavior to each other, and then her Fiorini's, whatever the hell her name is, Fiorina's comments on Hillary Clinton? They were downright carnivorous.
Yes, they are. But, Don, you were going to say something in comment to what I was saying, probably. What was on your mind?
You hit the nail on the head. It's not about the damn cows. It's about the land that was destroyed. The plowed under. The trees weren't even hardly used. The trees were just thrown aside. They didn't even use, except for a little bit of construction with them, they didn't even hardly use the trees. And those trees are expensive in the real world. It's like an elephant. You know, you killing an elephant for its tusk, and the elephant is actually in value, is a very expensive animal. You know, it's the same thing. You're tearing up trees that you're not even using. It's like slavery. You know, you just throw the slave off the ship, one of them, just so the other ones can see that it's not worth mutinying for.
That's because it's cheaper to own than to rent, basically.
Well, the Pope wrote in his encyclical that all humans, all animal species are of value unto themselves, not just for the purpose of exploitation or profit.
Correct. And that's exactly what life and the value of life is all about. And that's the principle of the Bible, is that all life is valuable. When the Indians, Eastern Indians, if they have to eat a cow, they're blessing that son of a bitch for 2 days, you know, before they eat it. This is something that everybody
speaking
but the
of
white
the
man understands. Everybody but the white man understands that all life is valuable. The white man could care less.
Okay, well, I want to segue into something else. I was watching, I listened to a special on NPR, and, you know, they have the border checkpoints are now set up on Mexico and Texas so that even if you make it across the border, once you're 70 miles inland, there's another checkpoint. So these Mexicans were walking 40 miles out of their way to avoid the second interior 70-mile checkpoint. And over, within the last 6 months to a year, they found over 129 dead Mexican bodies, both men and women, who died of dehydration, lack of water. They got lost on these giant ranches and couldn't find their way out. They didn't have cell phones. So this anthropologist doctor went in there to try to identify the ones who couldn't be identified with DNA, you know, like she had to dig their bones up out of their graves, and some of them weren't buried properly. Their data, the county is supposed to mark their date of death, you know, the size of the person, the weight, and take a picture of their face, and not everything was done properly. So this doctor went in there and tried to fix things and record DNA so people could eventually find their family. So this is kind of what parallel to what Don was saying, that, you know, here these are people sacrificing their lives similar to the Syrian refugees, trying to make a better life for themselves, and they're getting lost in a field in the richest country in the world with no help. You know, there's nobody down there to help. I'm not even a missionary team or anything, and it's pretty sad.
Because it ran for a while. It was about the immigrants coming across the border and how I believe it was Arizona. It was either Arizona or New Mexico. There are people out there who are leaving water in, you know, places that they can get it. And they come back and the water jugs have either been destroyed with the water, you know, not being touched, or stolen, and so that he'd have to replace these jugs. And the guys just keep replacing them, keep leaving them out, sometimes with food, and in many, many instances, it is destroyed before the immigrants get a chance to get to it. So
that's sad, because it's... You think that they'd have an elaborate underground railroad system similar to the blacks, but I'm sure there were checkpoints along the way, and, you know, it's just rather sad that people have to die this way.
And they're white people who are destroying these jugs. The white people are
trying to help. Right, because they don't want Mexican immigrants coming in.
But we've got the world is made of immigrants. Change is inevitable. The world, everybody in the world, except, you know, there are hardly no places anymore that do not have some kind of immigrant population. It's inevitable.
Well, that's why I was kind of mad at the debate when they're arguing that we're one of the few countries with birthright immigration status, that if you're born here, you're a real American citizen, and then a couple people want to shut it down, like Rand Paul and Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Like, what do people have to do to get justice?
Here's a question, Does the cure create a bigger problem? Like, say you've got, say you take a country where there's like a million people starving to death. And you say, let's send them food and supplies and water, medical, all that stuff. Okay, we save these million people, and they have kids, and they've got now 3 million people in this area, but they don't have any work, they don't have any jobs. Now you've got a triple the problem, and then the question is it in the big picture better that half of those people die off and they don't have kids, you know, because they're having children they don't know how to take care of. They're in a situation, and I'm not trying to be heartless, I'm just saying as a numbers, as a logical person, are we making the problem worse by saving everyone? You know, nature is kind of like that. You know, animals in situations die off because there's no water or food, and it actually controls the population. If you have runaway growth and everyone lives, now you got a mess.
Yeah, but the Mexican population is not stagnant. Even if they don't have a job, they're pushing taquitos in a cart on the street. It's not like they're standing still.
That's down in Mexico. The white man brings him up to work on the fields and in Beverly Hills and in the hospitality industry. If you go down to the border today, as I said, when I was a kid, I used to just be on the border watching these carloads, truckloads of Mexicans being brought over in the morning and brought back at night. That's how they were able to glean themselves a black slave, because they had the brown slave.
Well, you know, it's gonna, like John Kasich said in the debate. Well, one guy said that he's glad Donald Trump brought up the immigration issue because it hasn't been dealt with, but there really is no proper solution. There's no easy solution. It's not going to be solved, in my opinion.
True, but one thing people can do just by concept and principle, and that is take care of your own stuff. And so as much as I do have, I feel sad for people. I have empathy. I have sympathy for people. But the bottom line is I have to take care of my stuff. And if everyone takes care of their stuff, the world's a better place. And if I try to fix everyone else's problems and I don't have my stuff together, it's just going to be a big mess. So everyone, you know, like you have five kids and you don't have a job or food or land to take care of them. Is that my problem? And we're all brothers, but am I supposed to run out there and kill myself over this? It's like, you know, that person has to take responsibility for what they do. Just like me, I can't run up to you and go, hey, I'm going to have, you know, a couple kids here. Are you going to feed them? It's like, no, those are my kids. That's my responsibility. So I think a lot of people, you know, they don't take responsibility for their actions. Even if it's an unfair situation, I got screwed in a lot of deals. I'm dealing with my own crap, you know, and I think that's where we lose perspective sometimes. We think we got to fix everyone's problems. It's like everyone's got to deal with their own stuff.
I agree. You guys, I'm not going to be able to. I can only be on the air 15 more minutes because I'm fading.
All right. Well, bottom line is that's the first time you have agreed to something all night long.
Maybe I just did because I'm exhausted.
Okay. Well, you can't be more exhausted than me. But the bottom line is that what we need to do is find a whole, and I've mentioned this before, the basis for how we are living right now is kind of a fallacy. It's a dream world that's not reality. The principles and precepts of our morality are so askewed from the Bible and from what is natural that we don't have the inner empathy or sympathies that go along with living a graceful life. And so we've got to, sooner or later, people, Americans can start where we start because we are the leading country in the world right now in terms of economics, which is our what we're basing everything on, which is wrong. But, you know, we should be basing things on our ability to love and sacrifice and for others and make a better life instead of more stuff. But the bottom line is
right. That
we've got to change the way that we think about each other, and everybody agrees on that. So right now, because the way that things have been thus far, they haven't worked. then we've got to really, really look at the change of the paradigm. And the change of the paradigm does not necessarily mean that we become one world order. And that is the Pope's message, and we've got to be extremely careful of that. Extremely.
Okay, I'm going to do my conclusion now based on what Don just said. I do think the way the I can only judge things by the way where I grew up. I think the world for a long time has become too based on economic consumption, just based on wages. People don't think in terms of global or community. Some people do who are wealthy enough to contribute. For example, they're building a new $10 million facility in Duluth called the Center for Changing Lives to help homeless youth. But not everybody has the luxury to be philanthropic. And a lot of people are just barely struggling trying to pay their mortgages for their property they owe or their high rents. And our economy is set up for individualism. And the only way that we could come together as a community for environmental change is becoming more prudent and smaller consumers. But it's not that easy with the demands the world places on us, like things like car insurance and cars and car payments and houses. So we just have to learn how to do the best we can in every situation. John, what's your conclusion?
My conclusion is, above all, we're just visiting this planet. So try to live simple. Don't overconsume. Don't be too obsessed. You can try to build an empire and it will be taken away. So live simple, you know, and trust God. Follow the truth, not the ruth, wherever it leads you, you know. Yeah, that's it. Follow the truth, you know. Follow
what the virtue. You say follow the truth, not the ruth?
Yes, not the ruth, like a woman.
Well, that, you know, that the truth, that's the problem here. Everybody, and Jane just mentioned it, about her upbringing and all she can do is go by the path. You know, everybody's truth is different. So whose truth is real? And the only one, I mean, we're trying to go by the Bible, but the Bible has falsehood in it too. And, you know, it's a book made by man. But it is.
Well, I disagree with that statement, but
okay, look, so the Bible was not written by men, even though it is God's word.
I'm not going to argue the finer points. I just happen to think that it's God's ordained word.
It is God's ordained word, but it's written by men. That's why they have their own book. These are men.
I know. I'm not going to belabor that point. I'm just going to conclude the show with, what does the encyclical contain? What is happening to our common home, the gospel of creation, the human roots of the ecological crisis, the integral ecology, the lines of approach and action, and ecological education and spirituality? It doesn't matter who caused the environmental problem. It doesn't matter if the Pope is addressing it. The point is that we can make this a better world.
For whom? Not for black people.
For all of us, with no dead elephants.
Oh, and that, and white people killing lions and tearing up the rainforest and making sure that the minorities stay in one general housing setting so that they can stick their military police on them. That's not fair.
Okay, I'm going to end the show with This Is My Father's World, and then you guys can stay on the line and make your final comments if you want, okay? Okay, here we go.
Okay.
By the way, that last two lines was is Bible prophecy. The earth
question.
And heaven be one. Some people think that God's going to create a new heaven on earth. But some people think heaven will be in a different spot.
Well, here's a question. Was that a white singer singing that song?
Thank you.
I'm pretty sure, and the hymn is from... it's probably from the... It's the Lutheran and Methodist thing, and I don't know where it came from, though.
I did not sense a lot of flavor in that rendition, but it sounded, you know, it was nice. I will say this. Don brought in a very interesting point, you know, like truth. You know, there's lots of different truth. My concept of saying follow the truth is always the truth. It's just how you interpret the truth, and it's where you get into different interpretations. Of what the truth is. And when I say follow the truth, what I'm saying is that when you realize that your interpretation is weak or that there's a better interpretation of it, but you have your own prejudice of how you've always perceived the truth, that it's okay to let go of whatever is inaccurate or whatever is insufficient, or maybe you're in a gray area and you see a better enlightenment of it. And I think most people, when they have a better truth or an enlightenment, they won't go with it. I'll give you an example. If Jesus showed up right now and was a UFO, and he said, hey, guess what? New program here. You got to wear a purple shirt and the tennis shoes and drink this Kool-Aid, and we go into the spaceship. And I knew 100% that was Jesus. I would put on the purple shirt, the tennis shoes, and drink the Kool-Aid, and off we go. The majority of people would go, the Bible says here in, you know, John 3:16, this is exactly how we're going to do it. Well, that's what they ran into when Jesus showed up. The Pharisees were like, we have our truth here. You can't give us new stuff here. And Jesus said, no, I'm not come to do away with the old. I'm giving you a higher law, a higher commandment of love. And that's the point of what I'm making is don't be stubborn. Go with the truth. As you find a better perception, roll with it. Don't fight it. And that's kind of my closing statement.
Don, before you cut in, This Is My Father's World was written by Malt B. Davenport Babcock, a minister from upstate New York. He died at 42 years old in 1901, and he used to walk along the Niagara Falls, and he would tell his wife, I'm going out to see my father's world, when he would take his long nature walks. And he wrote it as a poem, and his friend arranged the melody, and his friend's name was Franklin Shepherd, but he didn't want people to know that he did the arrangement. His name was Franklin L. Shepherd, so he changed the initials to SFL, and that's what's seen on the sheet music nowadays.
Okay. Yes.
Who was that, Don? No. Or was that Slick?
I was like, yay. We got a guy walking along the Niagara. What did you die when he fell in? And then we got a guy who's ashamed of his name. Okay, what in the world is that crap? That doesn't even make sense to me.
Okay, listen. He set the poem to music 14 years later. He was a close friend of Babcock's. He didn't want to call attention to himself and signed his initials SFL. Maybe it's a secret code for the end of the world. Who knows?
Well, okay.
If you become suspicious the whole night, I'm going to sing this hymn before I close the show.
No, you're the one who's suspicious of what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, unfortunately, part of my truth, because I went to a Catholic university. I see people in operation, and I know for a fact that very little that they preach is how they live, and that is a shame, because it is really. I mean, now let me preface that by saying that I've seen some of the strongest people in the world do Catholic missionary work. These people are impervious to danger and things like that. However, the reasons that they're out there doing this missionary work is not necessarily for the proselytization. But it is the Catholics, I got to give them credit, they are actually looking to improve other people's lives. And that's a good thing above and beyond what the Mormons are doing. They're doing this simply for selfish self-improvement.
Okay, well, I know some Catholics who are very good people, and they've made enormous sacrifices for their faith, and they turn their whole lives over to God and missionary work. So There's bad people in every organization, but I'm not going to focus on that tonight.
Well, the thing about the Catholics being is that once they've been instilled with the doctrine, with the mantra, they don't ever let it go, no matter what happens in front of them. Jesus could come down right now and say Catholicism is bad. And they would like look at him going, hell no, Jesus, get your ass back in the grave.
Right. And we're going with the Pope. Yeah, it's like Pope on the rope. You know, the thing about it is in following the truth. If you know, unfortunately, a lot of the priests aren't just doing missionary work. They're doing missionary position. And they're doing it with little kids. And
okay,
the point,
that's a small segment that screwed up.
No,
right, right. But what I'm saying is the truth is it happens. And instead of saying, well, guess what? This has happened. We're sorry. This is wrong. There's years and years of denial, right? Oh, we don't know anything about this. Oh, we never, you know, that's just a rumor. It's like, no, that's the truth. In fact, you covered it up. You wrote letters internally and said, hey, just, you know, send this guy to another area, a new parish, so he can continue his work on the kids. And that's
and
the reality.
Pope hasn't done it? Who says that Pope hasn't done it? The reason that he's coming out to try to help with the homosexuals in the church is because he hasn't had his boys, too.
I had to take a two-minute break from you guys. You're getting on my...
Ouch.
You're upsetting me.
No, no, no. We're talking to the listenership. We're talking to our audience. You should not be getting upset over this.
Okay, well, listen. Our listenership has increased threefold since I started running for office. So
good.
We now get about 60 listens a week.
Fantastic.
This is my father's. This is my father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and around me. Okay, I'll stop.
What?
And how many of those listeners are gay Catholics?
I don't know, but they like my singing. Don
okay.
doesn't even know that I lost the election.
Really?
You told me.
No.
Oh.
Don, I took your $40 donation to my campaign and donated it to the Catholic Church.
Oh. Well, that's fine.
I'm kidding. Don didn't donate to me. But I know a very good Catholic. Do you want to know what her name is?
And don't say Pat Gallimore either.
Patricia Gallimore. Patricia Gallimore.
Very good.
Married.
She's a very good Catholic. And
she loves the Catholic Church.
Yes, she does, but she knows that there are problems too. And that she is out to try to change them. And that's something most Catholics don't do. They just follow the doctrine of life lockstep. And it takes a strong person to go into especially something as ingrained as religion, to try to change it. And she does some of that if she can.
Wow. So she follows the teachings of the High Pope Don Galloway?
Yeah,
Gallimore.
Well,
Gallimore.
Gallimore. Gallimore.
Yeah, no. Does,
oh,
yes.
more, she says.
Exactly what she says. Gallop more.
Amore.
But yeah, she does, yeah. She understands that the man is the head of the house, and that, you know, the woman is one that is to do his be by his side.
Well, in the Holy Trinity of Don, John, and Jane, I'm the Protestant priestess. John is the four-square spiritual authority. And Don, you're in Catholic purgatory.
Just where I want to be. Exactly where I want to be. Catholic purgatory means that I'm in everybody else's, every other religion's heaven. You know, and you know, that Greek, what is it, the English Catholic Church is the one that's going to be destroyed by the, in Revelation, by the apocalypse. But anyway.
Something like that.
Okay,
I'm doing my final thoughts, and then I'll let you guys conclude, because I have to drive a van at 7:30 in the morning. Mary is the queen of all creation. Beyond the sun, eternal life will be a shared experience of awe in which each creature, resplendently transfigured, will take its rightful place. May our struggles and concern for this planet never take away the joy of our hope. God does not abandon us. He does not leave us alone. He has united himself definitively to our earth, and his love constantly impels us to find new ways forward. Praise be to God. What's
right
your
on,
conclusion,
hey.
Don Galloway Gallimore?
Only that Mary got pregnant by accident, even though it was on purpose, and that she didn't perceive herself as a queen, so why should everybody else do that? She's just a Mother Mary. That's what she was. Nobody called her a queen and nothing.
Immaculate conception, God planted the seed, not
but she
man.
She wasn't called queen. She wasn't called the queen. And she was and she didn't
I just
act
quoted
like
that
queen.
Out of the Pope encyclical.
Yeah, well the Pope and you know what I feel about the Pope encyclical, right?
I don't want you to say it on the air.
That's why I didn't say a word. I'm not saying you didn't hear me say a word after that.
Well, I'll have to put a cyclical cyclone into your turbulent
right,
mind.
Up my butt, that's what you're going to say.
Okay, John, what Christian song do you want to end the show with? I'll look it up on YouTube.
Wow. There's a lot. You know what? You don't have to play it, but I tell you, if you want to have a good time, Andre Crouch and the Disciples singing Satisfied or You Ain't Living. Either of those, I like Satisfied because it'd be great in a 70s Superfly, kind of Shaft type of movie. It'd
be
awesome.
It's called Satisfied?
Satisfied, years ahead of his time, just totally cool, nice vibe, upbeat, the kind of stuff you can just keep singing all day. Flawless. I believe in its construction.
Okay, well we're gonna end the show with it. I just have to reel through this commercial.
Oh, nice! And don't pick the live version. Pick the studio version. You know where they're.
Okay, well I did pick the live version, so now I have to go back one bar.
Yes, get the studio version because it's got some killer guitar. With the live, I think Andre doesn't use a guitar. It's kind of bass and keyboards, but go with the.
Okay, here we go, Mr. Music Critic. Here we go.
Thank you.
was the live version.
That's okay. The energy
I was in a hurry. I couldn't pick the right one.
That's okay, but the energy and excitement, you know, is just awesome. It's like I'm satisfied. You know, I'm not here to preach judgment, condemn you, and bad, bad person, bad, bad gay person, bad, bad this and that. No, you know, I have eternal life, and I'm satisfied. It's
Amen.
A beautiful place to be. It's a beautiful place to be.
At the end of the day, it doesn't matter who thinks they're right or who is wrong. If we have the peace of God, we're going to transform that power to the next world. No matter if we achieve all our dreams or if our relatives die in an untimely manner, we have the power to have that joy and that peace.
Yeah.
Right, Don Gallimore?
Oh, yeah, we do. As long as we truly live it in our hearts, if we say
right,
words.
Right, not ride the fence and
words,
live in the world of sin.
Right, and if we say words and don't agree with those words or the words are contrary to living a good life, then they're, you know, we're not satisfied. We know it.
Well, we're going to end the show now. It was a little disjointed, but overall it was pretty good tonight. Thanks for everybody's passionate thoughts. And I hope you all have a good night. And I'll see John in the midweek and Don on Sunday.
You bet. You sure will.
Okay, God bless everybody. Good night.
Good night, John.
Good night, and God bless everyone and America.